Now Jesus heard about John's beheading, and he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. It's funny how the process of eating a meal can look so different. There are meals where everything is perfect. There's all the right tableware. The settings are just so. The food is plated perfectly. The table itself and the presentation are part of the meal that is being served. Something that satisfies some beyond just our appetite. The trend a few years ago of taking pictures of your food and posting it online stems from this understanding that when we eat, we feed more than just the body. We feed our senses, smell, taste, touch. We feed our spirit. There are also the meals where it's all about food, where the cutlery and the plates are just a means of delivering that goodness to us. I tend to associate these with foods like barbecue, where all the time and energy goes into the meat and the sides, because really good barbecue can take 12 hours or more. Portions may not be huge, but the flavor more than satisfies. It's all about biting into that fall off the bone juicy goodness. And it doesn't matter whether you're using your fingers or fine cutlery or a spork. It's just about eating. And then there are the meals where it's all about filling yourself. Quality and the presentation can vary, but it's really mostly about getting stuffed. These are the banquets, the all-you-can-eats, the cheap but good meals. And I've had these with really fine china and paper plates, and I've had these with a fine wine and a cheap beer. Now, one of these meals is not better than the other. They all accomplish the same thing. They give fuel to our bodies, but I dare say that most of us have had all of these meals at some point in our life. And I would also say that we have a preference in terms of our favorite. Our reading from Matthew is about 2 meals, even though we only hear about one. The first meal actually took place just prior to our reading. It's the birthday banquet that King Herod throws for himself. One that was planned long in advance, I'm sure, and to which only the important and powerful people were invited. One that would have been filled with abundance and overindulgence in wine, in food, in dancing and general debauchery. One that led to Herod making a boastful promise, one that he fulfilled to save face, and one that led to John the Baptist being beheaded. The second meal is one that is not planned and to which exactly no one was invited. Jesus hears the news that his cousin John has been killed, the man who baptized him and inaugurated Jesus' ministry, the one who had prepared the way so that the seed of his word might bloom, dead, beheaded by the government on the whim of its ruler. And Jesus needs time to process this, space to grieve and figure out what is next. So he goes to a deserted place, apart from everyone. The people hear about John's beheading, and their first thought is to find Jesus. Now, you would hope that they would go to offer their comfort and condolences, but they go in their need. Their anger, their hopelessness in the face of a government that just doesn't seem to care, that imprisons them for speaking uncomfortable truths, that kills their leaders. So Jesus comes ashore hunting for a place of solitude, and what he sees is a throng of people. And I wouldn't blame Jesus if he had just gotten right back in the boat and sailed off again. If he had at least complained, "Can't I just get one moment alone to grieve?" But instead, Jesus looks at them and has compassion. The word used means that his very insides were moved with emotion. It hits him in the feels when he sees them and he moves among them to restore those who are weak, to heal those who are sick, to minister to their need, their anger, their hopelessness. Now, with a large crowd, this takes time. And evening is approaching when Jesus' handlers, his disciples, come to him and say, "Hey, it's getting to be evening and dark now. You should send these folks away so they can go into the surrounding towns and get something to eat." But Jesus has another idea. They don't need to go somewhere else to get something to eat. You feed them. The disciples demur. We don't have anything. We have nothing here. Well, okay, all right. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Left unsaid is that that will be little enough for 13 of them. What we have here will not be enough, is what they are saying. Jesus' reply is, "Bring them here to me." Left unsaid is, "I will make them enough." So the crowd sits down in groups. Jesus takes this nothing offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he says good words over them. A blessing that speaks well of what is offered. And then he breaks the food and he gives it to the disciples, and the disciples feed the people and all eat and are filled. And there are leftovers. Even though there were probably 12,000 men, women, and children there. These meals reflect the people who host them. Herod's is about powerful people who overindulge in whatever they want. Food, drink, their exercise of unchecked power, physical pleasure, all with no care for others. A meal that ultimately leads to death for anyone who might speak up about how this kind of living is not what God's desire is for us. Jesus' meal is about compassion for those who are in need, a banquet to which many are welcomed, especially those who are weak and sick, those who are angry and hopeless. It's one where nothing gets transformed into an abundance, enough for leftovers. It's not a meal of overindulgence and waste, but one where everyone has enough to satisfy. It's a meal about life, fuller and more abundant. The meals reflect the reign of those who host them. Herod's reign of this earth with winners and losers filled with overindulgence for a few and death for everyone else. Jesus' reign of heaven with everyone welcome, especially those who are weak, hopeless, angry, where even a little is blessed and broken to be enough for all and more than enough. The meal Jesus presides over reflects the promise of God to us throughout time. It carries the lesson of manna and quail as the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, that it is God who provides daily bread, whether we deserve it or not. And to try and take more than you need will just turn the rest into ashes in your mouth. It'll rot away, become filled with worms. It carries the lesson of the widow of Zarephath, who shares the last flour and oil that she and her son have with the prophet Elijah. And God turns that little bit of flour and that little bit of oil into enough to sustain them all for months. It embodies what Jesus has said about the reign of heaven in our readings prior to this one. It is like the smallest thing that, when shared, changes everything. It is the mustard seed planted. It is the yeast hidden in the flour. The feeding of the 5,000 is the reign of heaven made real by Jesus, put into practice, so that the disciples might see that the reign of heaven is not some distant thing to look forward to, but a present reality to bring into being. This meal we will share today, communion, is doing the same thing. Like our worship, it makes the reign of heaven real in our lives, and it helps us practice what living in that reign will look like. Because that's what our worship together is. It's a training ground for kingdom living. It's a place where we seek out Jesus and we confess our sins, our brokenness, our helplessness, our anger. A place where Jesus ministers to us forgiving, mending, healing, inspiring, calming. It's a place where we practice being generous with what we have, trusting that this nothing that we offer, God will turn into enough. Knowing that what we have been given is not ours to have, but ours to share. Because we may be the means by which someone receives daily bread. It's a place where we know there is enough, and more than enough for all. Enough to satisfy our hunger in body and spirit, a place where just some bread and wine will transform us, even as yeast transforms the flour, changing its very nature even without seeming to. This meal that we share today for the first time in 4 months is the embodiment of what it means to live believing in Jesus, God's Son, whose very presence on earth changed everything, whose claim on us and presence in this meal changes us. Us, who have come in search of Jesus because we too are angry and hopeless, fearful, in need of healing and forgiveness because we too are weak. We come because we know that only Jesus can heal us, because we know that he is compassionate and merciful, that his reign is what will save us. This meal that we share today isn't much. It's a little wafer and a sip of wine. But as with the meal by the lake shore, Jesus will make this enough. Enough for the healing of our lives. Enough for the healing of the nations. Enough so that we may be emboldened, even as the disciples were eventually, to take the risk that our nothing talent, our nothing witness, might be transformed by Jesus into enough, enough to transform someone else's life. This is the meal we invite you to today. A little bit about that. When we are done with our worship together, if you are in town and available, you are invited to come. Probably about starting 10:15 or so, we'll be here till noon. We ask that you approach from Main Street along Rowley, so you'll be headed towards State, and that you pull into the public parking, the angled parking, but pull parallel to the building and stop just short of the table that I'll have sitting on the sidewalk out here. You'll indicate to me how many folks will be receiving. 2, 3, 4. I will have my face mask on, and I will place in the container there, on a plate there, the number of hosts, using tongs, the number of hosts for you. There will already be a tray, and in the tray are pre-filled wine and grape juice glasses, spaced far enough apart where you should be able to grab it without touching others. Once I have placed the host there, I'll step off, invite you to come forward. You'll grab your elements. I will say those words, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. You'll consume, you'll receive the meal. We'll ask that you take the cups with you, and I will dismiss you with these other words you have heard, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. This is the meal, just a little bit. A taste of the feast to come, one that is unlike what we have shared prior, but we trust that it will be enough. I invite you to stand as we sing about that meal by the lake shore.
Talents and tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. Bread is broken, the wine is poured, Christ is spoken and seen and heard. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loaves abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loaves abound. Christ is able to make us one. At the table he sets the tone, teaching people to live, to bless, love in word and in deed express. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loves abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loves abound. Jesus calls us in, sends us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt. Gives us love to tell, bread to share, God Emmanuel everywhere. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loaves abound. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loaves abound.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.